Sivako. Oh my fucking god, dude. I mean, this movie fucking sucks. What are you doing?
Stop.
What? You don't
Hold on. First of all, you curse in the first 30 seconds. You've eliminated monetization, so that's on you.
Don't worry. You went on for at least a minute and a half of that bullshit.
Congratulations. Second, I'm getting it out of the way. He can cut it out on Tuesday if he wants. I'm just trying to do a blessing so that everything goes good and nothing, you know. So, yeah, shame on me for being positive.
Yeah, shame on you, Rocco. Keep your religious bullshit out of this podcast. You're with your robes and your bejeweled staffs and your ancient Latin or whatever the fuck you were saying a second ago.
Oh man, that's disrespectful. I'm with you. I'm feeling blue too, Rocco. I say, I see you, Iowa to you.
I just don't understand. The movie's not good. I don't understand. I don't, Rocco, I don't know what you're doing anymore. What have you become, my friend?
What movie is he talking about? I don't know what this movie business is.
It's Avatar, a movie that literally no one thinks about anymore. It's the biggest waste of time movie.
Oh, is that Avatar stuff? Are we doing Avatar stuff on this stream?
Like you didn't know.
Sivakte ungawa
eva. He's too far gone, guys. We just gotta like
wait. Yeah. Did Rocco bring the special Avatar bread?
We gotta support him at this point. We just gotta support him.
I will always support Rocco, but this one I'm really questioning. What? Why would you buy that hoodie, Rocco?
Didn't Avatar God damn come it. Out? Wasn't Avatar 2008? 12 years ago?
9.
11 years ago. Excuse me.
It's just a shit movie. It's not good.
They're gearing up for the new one.
It's weird because they made Avatar Land, and then you started buying the stuff. I was like, okay, I get it. It's in character of the little thing, whatever. But now you've just straight up become a Navi or whatever.
This is like week 6 of him being super negative, and I want to know if there's a way to mute one channel. Brian, can you hear me? It's like week 6 of this shit, and I don't want to. Tell me when we go live.
Sean, yeah. You. I think that's a warning to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember literally anything about this movie because it's so forgettable. So I don't know what that staff he has does. So I could be scared.
Actually, I could be not. I don't really. Yeah, you are saying Avatar is super forgettable and nobody likes it. It wasn't Avatar a smash hit. Wasn't it a mega hit?
It's the number one movie globally.
Of all time. And yep. No one remembers anything about it. Besides Jake Sully, name me one character, and you can't. Because it doesn't matter.
Colonel Kurtz.
I'm not talking to you. Rocco, you're one of them. You don't count.
Neytiri.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, okay.
Sigourney Weaver. Unobtainium.
Unobtainium, yes.
Eva Sokka.
And apparently in the next one, they go underwater. That's going to be sick.
Yeah. Call me when they make this seed bearer, and then that is the one that I'm excited for. Everything else, I'll pass.
Did we get that muted?
Sounds sexy. The seed bearer.
Sean, say something. We want to know if you're muted or not.
What?
Ah, damn, he's still here. Anyways, welcome to the podcast,
everybody. Just mute all of them. Theme song nese de awa.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, can we get this shit started or what?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. All set.
I mean, you can sit here arguing all night, but I want to do a show.
Yeah, so no, I hear you.
That's on you.
Sorry.
I was here. That's all. I mean, that's, I'm in the studio. That's all I'm going to say.
So, Rocco, I mean, that's cool. The sweatshirt and the staff, do they not have Avatar sweat shorts or?
Those are out of stock currently, but there is a tail.
Damn. Of course that would sell out first.
I'm gonna show that one off on Patreon. Of course
that would be the first thing to sell out.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But the tail is sold separate, so there's still some hope with that. But I'm saving that reveal for Patreon. Or OnlyFans. Yeah. Sean, did you catch that?
Yeah, I got it.
Hope you understood that one.
Definitely OnlyFans content right there. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Hey!
Yeah.
We were just streaming a few days ago, but we're back now. This is a different show.
Yeah.
This is the main show.
Yeah.
It's his show.
This is
the Mega 64 podcast, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. The Mega 64 boys on a hot Sunday night. We're going to be talking about movies, video games, television shows, what's been happening in the world of the internet. We're going to be covering it all.
Yeah.
I saw some movies. I've been playing new video games. Have you guys been entertaining yourselves? What's been going on in your lives since we last talked?
Oh, shit. Well, you know, I honestly, Mario Kart is like the hit right now. Who knew Mario Kart 8 on the Switch would be such a fucking smash? But goddamn, that game is great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That one came out. That's been out for quite a while.
That was out on the Wii U. And then they put it on the Switch and called it Deluxe. But, so I'm ready for Mario Kart 9. What are we doing?
Have they announced Mario Kart 9, or what's up with that?
It is funny because I always kind of forget. They never made an entirely new Mario Kart for Switch. They brought the Wii U one over, which was excellent. I mean, they really did a fantastic job with it. So it's not like I need a better one right now or anything. But it is interesting. I feel like a lot of people on their checklist of, you know, every Nintendo system, it's like, okay, we want a new Mario, new Zelda. Usually a new Mario Kart is on that list, but they re-released that old one, and I feel like a lot of people are kind of like not... Maybe that last one was so good, people aren't as thirsty for a new one, but I personally would like to see a brand new entry.
Yeah, why not?
That would be really cool. There's no reason. I wonder if they're working on it.
I wonder if, you know, they don't want to go back to the well too many times.
Yeah. That's true, and if people are really satisfied with that and the sales are still good, it's like, well, yeah, why not focus on other, you know, Metroid hasn't had a new one in a while, might as well focus on that or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Besides Paper Mario, what's Nintendo doing?
I have no idea. I mean, they teased Breath of the Wild 2 at one point.
Well, they said they're making it.
Animal Crossing is, like, the biggest game in the world right now. Yeah. They're That's true.
But it's funny you mentioned Nintendo because there's a couple things I wanted to bring up with that. So you have excellent timing. Garrett brought something up to me before the podcast that blew my mind. you want to talk about that, Garrett?
Yeah, and it's funny that Sean's gone back to playing an old Switch game because I did the same thing. This weekend, I've been doing nonstop Splatoon 2.
Oh, yeah. It was Splatfest, right?
Yeah. And I didn't know about
this until now, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they brought it back, which I was always so frustrated with the first Splatoon when they ended the Splatfest, which was like every month there would just be this kind of big event where the hub world would change, there would be like a concert going on, and there was this tournament, and you picked a side, like this versus that. And it was great, but all of a sudden, I don't know, like a year or something like that in, it stopped. Yeah. And they didn't support it anymore. Same thing happened with Splatoon 2. It was like, oh, it was back when the game launched, and then a while ago they stopped. But it came back this weekend, and it was great. It was super fun. It was very interesting that they didn't pick a new theme. It was a repeat of an old theme.
It's always something versus something.
Yeah. Which, and how hard is that to come up with a new
idea. I asked Garrett, I'm like, what was the theme of this one? You know, was it like, you know, the first one they did was mayonnaise versus ketchup. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they did a bunch more. Okay, what's the new one? What was the theme of the new one?
It's mayonnaise versus ketchup.
What the? What? Come on.
They repeated it.
How hard is it to think of two things? I mean, I was seriously, I asked Garrett about it. I'm like, yeah, that's been gone a long time. The last one I remember is mayonnaise versus ketchup. What is the new one? Mayonnaise versus ketchup. It's really not hard. You label two items.
I mean, no excuse. Come on.
I mean, even if, just call it blood versus cum or something. Like, do anything else. You don't even have to re-skin it.
Well, that might be a little harsh for Nintendo.
That's what everyone called it when it first came around.
Yeah, I mean, people are already saying it. No, but really, anything, though, like, that blew my mind. Mayonnaise versus ketchup. Again, we needed a second battle to determine the fate of mayonnaise versus ketchup. You know, it just wasn't definitive enough the first time. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, use your own properties. Mario versus Luigi. Did they ever do that?
That seems so easy. I don't understand.
Kirby versus fucking Pikachu. Anything.
Yeah.
I wonder, do they have to have, like, I'm thinking, like, they have to, you can't do red and green against each other, because then if you're colorblind, you can't do it. You'd be fucked.
They're not true, like, red and greens. They're, like, they're a color palette that must work. Because that is sometimes a battle. It's kind of magenta against teal.
I see.
Interesting. Well, so the other thing that I was thinking with Nintendo, the other thought I had this week was, and people at home, you can tell me if I have, you know, unrealistic expectations here, but it kind of drove me nuts this week. They put out new Super Nintendo games. You know, they've been doing that with the online service.
Yeah.
Which, the rate at which they put out new stuff on that is like, what is happening? Like, oh, okay, it's been 3 months. Are there any more Super Nintendo games coming to it? Oh, okay, yeah, here's like two puzzle games. All right. I really wish I could just buy,
you know, right?
Like I did on Virtual Console. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they put out a couple new games, and then they put out, and I thought this was actually really cool, a famous puzzle game from Japan, Panel de Pawn. And that game came here a long time ago as Tetris Attack. Where you flip tiles around, like you have to flip three tiles together. I don't know how to describe it, but it got localized as Tetris Attack, and they put Yoshi stuff all over it. And then later it came to Nintendo 64 as Pokemon Puzzle League. But anyway, they put up the original puzzle game it was all based on, Panel de Pawn. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And, you know, I know it's an import game. I know they're putting it up as like, oh, look at this rarity from Japan. But, you know, I load it up, and it's not translated, and I know it's because it's an import game. I get it. But you know, it's like my mom subscribes to this thing and she's like, I don't know what to pick. I can't read anything. I'm just like, we're paying for this service and you can't even give us the, you know what I mean? I just feel like either quickly translate it or give us the Tetris Attack version. I just don't get it. Like, I just feel like there's so many corners cut. And I don't understand what's going on. I don't know.
It's pretty rare they trickle the releases out, right? It's like every few months. Is it just like a tiny team sitting in the treehouse corner?
So. I don't know. There's half of me that wasn't surprised they didn't translate it. Because, again, it's like, oh, here's the Japanese version of this game. You know, okay, fine. There's half of me that was fine with it. But the other half of me is like, man, what are we doing? I'm paying for the service and I wait this many months and you don't even... You just dump the ROM on here and that's it. I don't know. I got.
Hey, honestly, if they added the virtual console, I'd be there day one.
Yeah.
I would, you know, give me all the Mario Karts now that I can go back and show the kids the old ones. I want to download those and play. Why not? Like,
I mean, they did put up, to their credit, they did put up, I think the Super Nintendo one is already on there.
They did. They did.
So that's cool. Okay. But yeah. I mean, it goes without saying everybody wants N64 games on there. So that, you know, or GameCube or whatever. Everyone's been saying that since the beginning, and I really think they should, but yeah, it's just, I don't know. I wish I could, I'd rather pay a little bit more and get this shit on my Switch now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. The way that they're doing it is too slow and not active enough. You know, I don't know what it is. It's just really, it's really bugging me. You know, people tell me all the time that I give Nintendo a softball a lot, but I'm raging tonight.
Not tonight.
After the flame.
I'm sorry. I've officially hit the rage point.
Tonight. Ooh.
Hate to say it, Nintendo. I'm looking at you.
Now are you sorry
for that butt?
Anyway, no. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. That was just bugging me.
Yeah. Well, What can you do?
I think it's what Garrett's saying. I bet there's like three people in the office over there, and none of them.
Yeah, that could be. That's true. I mean, that's very true. I'm forgetting kind of what's going on, I guess.
If they look to their audience, I bet there's like people they can pull from that have already experienced like emulating these games to work on PC. There's like huge communities of people that do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hire them.
But I mean, I felt that way forever. I mean, you could ask anybody about like, they never brought Mother 3 here. You know, there's a million fans that are like, yo, I'll translate this game for free. You know, that's been going on a long time. So anyway, that was my feeling on Nintendo. But anyway, I had some positive Nintendo memories too. I can get to that later. But what do any of you guys play anything else? I don't have to rant all day. You know?
Yeah, Derek, what you got?
Well, Civilization 6 was on sale. Big sale, I would say. It was free this week.
Oh,
and
yeah, that kind of surprises me.
You know, I guess Epic is, you know, they know that everybody's staying at home with nothing better to do. So yeah. I would recommend everybody out there just pick it up. Just go to Epic and get that download. Never play it if you want, but at least you'll have it.
Yeah,
I love this. I haven't cracked that open, but I did download it. I bought a game on Steam. I believe it was $5. It's called Bomber Crew. Bomber Crew. It's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of like a team management game. Basically, you have a like airplane bomber in World War II that you send out on missions, and you need to manage the whole crew. So like the pilot, the radio man, the navigator, the three gunners, and the engineer. You know, I don't know if you guys have played games similar to this, but people watching this may remember a few years ago, I was playing a game called Faster Than Light, which was kind of like a space.
Yeah.
Version of this where you
that was a cool game
crew in space and you do missions. This
yeah,
is like
cool.
This is like a slightly more high-tech version of Faster Than Light set during World War II. Bomber Crew. I was playing that all afternoon today. It's very fun. You know, it's the type of game where on my first mission I thought I had everything under control. Then a couple of enemy fighters came out, started shooting the fuck out of me. I'm trying to fight them.
Yeah.
My whole crew gets shot up. They're bleeding. They're dying in the plane. I'm trying to get them into first aid. My airplane runs out of gas. It fucking crashes into the ground. It explodes. The whole crew dies.
Oh.
And you can't, you know, you just have to move on, buy a new plane, recruit all new crew members. So.
Oh my God.
Pretty soon, like immediately, I'm playing this game all chipper. That happens to me a couple of times. And I fucking understand why drill sergeants are such assholes now. I'm recruiting my third crew, you know, and I'm like, oh, you motherfuckers think you know shit about war. You think you're tough shit, huh? All right, fine. Get in this fucking airplane because you're dog meat anyways, you know. and then slowly start completing these missions. It's really fun. So I recommend Bomber Crew. It's like $5 on Steam.
Very Memorial Day themed.
Yeah, you know, now I feel like maybe on Monday people can raise a beer to me and my crew.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Derek, I was thinking about doing it.
Yeah, thanks, Rocco. Rocco's going to slam a 12-pack in honor of my video game.
I didn't really know, you know, what to salute that day, but I think it's got to be you just kicking ass at that game. No, I was going to say that's funny you brought up the Civilization thing about, like, download it even if you're not going to play it. That's what I want to say it was Jared Thorbon maybe or somebody was recommending with PlayStation Plus. They're like, you know, even if you aren't going to play the free games every month, download that shit because at least it's in your library for good.
Right.
And at any given point, 10 years from now, you could go, you know, I don't think I have a copy of Metal Gear Solid 5 and I did want to play that. You could just go download it. It's in your library.
Now, if you don't subscribe to PlayStation Plus anymore, is that gone?
It won't activate.
It won't activate.
It won't activate.
You
but if you're still, but if you're a subscriber, it'll go.
Then it's
fine. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But at least you have them in your library. You know.
I have a whole Uncharted series that, like, 2 months ago they put 4 games up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
When everybody was playing a lot of video games, and I have all kinds of amazing titles. Witcher's in there. Phantom Pain was up.
Yeah.
That was up a couple of times. They'll cycle through the biggest titles. So.
Yeah.
What's this month? Do we know?
I don't know, actually. I don't remember.
Hmm.
Every once in a while, it's a stinker.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes I own the game. I have a physical copy of it because I always like to have a physical copy of it. I'm that guy. But I'll download them anyway because, like, in the case of Phantom Pain, that's a game I really like to check in on every now and then. And it's cool to not have to go get the disc. It's like, all right, I'm going to quit Final Fantasy. You know, I'm just going to hop over to Phantom Pain real quick.
Yeah.
You know,
so. I want to say it was like Stardew Valley maybe this month. I remember I looked and it was like two farming simulators, like Farm Simulator, Stardew Valley.
Yeah. I don't
know.
Oh, somebody's saying it's Cities Skyline. Sorry. You should all get Cities Skyline. Sean, I think you and your family would love Cities Skyline. I think I already said that to you a couple weeks ago.
What is that?
Oh, you think you did? Yeah.
It's like a way better version of SimCity.
Oh, okay.
It's man, awesome. It's really
Sim
fun.
City. I have not played SimCity since the Super Nintendo days, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't understand shit about cities when I tried to play SimCity. So I was like, you know, sewers have poop. Wouldn't it be better if we got rid of that? No sewers in my city.
Yeah.
Stupid shit like that. No schools in my city. School sucks. When you play City Skyline as an adult, you create like a very awesome, well-designed, functioning city.
That is so funny. That is the exact same mentality I had as a kid. When I played that game, I was like, yeah, if I was in charge, I'd make everything better. Sewers are gross. Why? Why do that? And, you know, places to work? No. Why would anyone want to work? No. You know, and it's all theme parks and nothing works.
And then slowly, nobody's moving into your city. And you're like, dumbasses, I've created the greatest city on Earth. Why the fuck don't you want to live here? There's no jobs. There's no poop. There's no school.
Yeah.
My only exposure was like 90s Macintosh computers. That was always like schools had SimCity. Like I never wanted to play that because it was like, oh, that's just the game that's on every school computer.
Yeah, we didn't have it at my school, but you know, Nintendo went all in on it for Super Nintendo. They had their own character in it, Mr. Wright, and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I wanted to play it, but I didn't really understand it. My objective when I played SimCity on Super Nintendo was not to have. I didn't understand it, frankly, at all. I did not have anyone move in or this or that, whatever. My objective in that game was I heard that you could get Godzilla to destroy your city.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so for me, it was just, how do I get this better, bigger and bigger and bigger so that there's a monster attack?
Yeah, you play SimCity. Here's the 5 stages of SimCity. You get it, you know, oh, this is going to be fun. Stage 1. Then it's really boring. You try to create the ultimate city. It fails. That's stage 2. Yeah. Stage 3. Then you quit. Stage 4. Then you hear from your friends, oh, there's like monsters and disasters. And the final stage of SimCity is trying to get all that bad stuff to happen to your city.
That's exactly.
I heard UFOs could come and cause like a tidal wave to wipe out my city.
Yeah.
You're the fucking mayor trying to invite all this shit on your people.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you put a 9-year-old in charge.
Yep. Yeah, but that Godzilla thing was a mind blower to me when I had that game. It was just like, oh my god! Like, and I think I got it to happen, and I was like, as far as I was concerned, I beat it. I was like, yeah monster destroyed it. Hell yeah!
Yeah,
we did it.
I don't know if there's any of that in City Skyline, but I still recommend it. Check it out, everybody. Bummer. Was there? Yeah. Am I crazy? Am I remembering this wrong? Was there a nuke in SimCity?
Oh yeah, I think there might have been.
Familiar.
Or there was a nuclear plant that could melt down.
Yes.
I think that's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah, because I think that happened in mine.
Yeah. Godzilla would make that happen. That's what I remember.
Yeah, something like that. That sounds very familiar. I don't think they would include that now.
Why not? Chernobyl was a hit show. It's fine.
That's true.
Why is the world getting worse as we go on, you know?
Sean's right though. They might try to get on that Chernobyl hype.
Yeah.
SimCity Chernobyl edition.
It blows my mind, not to divert too much. So if there's any game stuff you want to talk about, by all means, swipe me out of this part of the conversation. But it really does blow my mind that it's the year anniversary since Game of Thrones ended. It was 1 year ago, like the other day.
Wow.
Or a year ago today. That the show ended, and it's so funny. On a regular basis, I see more people talk about Chernobyl still That was that's a year old too.
Yeah.
And I see more people talk about, oh man, you remember this shot in Chernobyl? Yeah, man, look how well they conveyed this. Or even just bringing it up in memes or whatever. And Game of Thrones, it's like, it's not there, man. It's just not brought
maybe,
up.
Maybe, you know, though, who knows? Like, honestly, I know I'm watching Lost, but I have seen so many articles and shit about Lost. That ended 10 years ago.
10 years ago, the same within... within the last couple days, 10 years ago, yeah.
So people are kind of revisiting it, and, like, they're looking at it very fondly.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the time, people were fucking pissed.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe in 10 years from now, everyone's like, Game of Thrones, you know, and then they'll be...
I'm wondering about, because you do have to let wounds heal. I get that. Because there were a lot of people that did feel, frankly, very burned by the Lost ending. And I get it. I never thought, like, why don't people like the Lost ending? It's divisive. I get it. But time heals some wounds, and now, you know, it's been 10 years. Some people are like, hey, you know what? That was, like, very emotionally affecting and da-da-da-da-da. So I had that thought. I'm like, yeah, I wonder if in another 10 years, maybe people will be able to go, all right, whatever with the ending. But Game of Thrones, that was cool. They'll be able to have perspective. But... the only thing that I think is different with Lost and Game of Thrones and how they ended is Lost, even if you weren't happy with what it did or what it answered, it was still a very gooey, it was still kind of a love letter to the characters, and kind of, it tried to be, whether it failed or not, a warm hug to the fans kind of too. You know what I mean? It was very mushy. Game of Thrones was... felt like kind of a fucking middle finger to a lot of shit. I wonder if people will still, you know what I mean? I wonder if it just incites that kind of anger, and even in a few years, people will still be like, hey, you know what? No, fuck you, you know, or not, you know? Sorry, what were you gonna say?
I was going to say, I personally think Game of Thrones was so bad, it's not even worth analyzing the ending. It was that bad.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, between fucking Starbucks cup and water bottles and, like, George R. R. Martin being fucking cut out of the writing process, like, it's a waste of time to, like, analyze the artistic merits of the end of Game of Thrones.
What you have to do, though, is, like, with The Office, that was a show that we all loved for a while. Yeah. And, like, for me, it's the end of season 3 is the end of the show. That is it for me. Yeah. Like, that's it. And good show. Great show.
Sure.
What happens after that doesn't matter. There's got to be a point in Game of Thrones where it's like, oh, this episode is the ending if you, you know. And then after that, just throw it out. It doesn't matter.
What would that be for Game of Thrones? I honestly, what would that point be? I'm trying to think about it. I saw it all at once. Last year, so it's all like one big movie to me. So
right.
hard for me to say, but you know, I was still, I know people at the time when it aired were not happy with, like, things in season 6 because it was going off the books at that point. But I will say, as someone who watched it all with no knowledge and I just watched it all at once, I was still enjoying some stuff in season 6.
I'll tell you, with The Office, with the question of, like, what's a good ending point?
Yeah.
Jim and Pam have this huge character switch that has been built for, you've been waiting for that moment for like 3-4 years at that point. So when that happens, that's such a major pivot. You could say, end the show there. I'm completely satisfied. We've built towards this huge switch. I feel like Game of Thrones never had that. They were building toward this switch and then lost steam like 3/4 of the way towards all of those major character switches because they just saved them for the end and then they flat.
Yeah.
That's my analysis of what went wrong there. That's why it's hard to say, like, what's a good false ending, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe, and I guess... I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but maybe when major characters die or major battles are won, and then you could imagine, like, it all kind of works out after that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
Even that, what's the best moment for that? That's kind of hard to say.
Yeah. But that's, I think that's an interesting point, though, Derek, that you make. At the end of the day, when time kind of flows onward and you look at the ending for both Lost and Game of Thrones, you know, again, say what you will about the Lost ending, it may not work for you, but there's a lot to kind of, like, dig into with it in terms of, Yeah, what did that mean? Oh, yeah, do you think that this meant that? Yeah, maybe they were trying to say this. Yeah. You know, and maybe you arrive at you still hate it, but at least there's something to kind of discuss there. And yeah, Game of Thrones, I really kind of, yeah, I agree with you. There, it kind of isn't anything to talk about there. It's like,
even Lost has a good false ending. At the end of season 5, it ends. Lost always goes to a black screen, but at that episode, it goes to a white screen.
Yeah.
I always feel like that could be a poignant ending. Honestly, you don't even need to know or watch season 6.
That's
true.
You
just walk away from it at that point and be like, okay, that's how it all ended.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And anybody who knows what that episode is, you know, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but that's what I think would be a good false ending. Again, I don't think Game of Thrones has that moment.
Oh, you know what, Derek? I'm gonna disagree. Game of Thrones does. It's the moment they get that sorry if anyone doesn't, you know, hasn't seen it or they don't want me to, but sorry. I gave you a year. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Spoilers.
Whatever that episode was where the dragon comes and destroys the wall.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like, nothing matters at that point. So I think that's like the world's funniest ending. All right, this wall is so important. This is so important. It hasn't fallen in thousands of years. It's so solid. Nothing can happen. When that thing crumbles the wall, in my headcanon, I just listen to the Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's the ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that was like one of the worst moments of the whole show to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's just the moment when, like, you know, the relationship's over and you know you're not getting back together. But then you're like seeing them one last time and they're really mean to you and you're like, this is fucking unnecessary.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I remember specifically when I watched it last year, all for the first time. I brought it up to you, Derek, and you specifically told me, you're like, there's one point you're going to get to. It's so upsetting to me, and I just can't wait to talk to you about it, or something like that. And I was like, okay. And then I watched it all. I caught up, and I was like, I don't honestly know which part he's talking about. I don't know. And then I told you, and it was, and you were like, so this fucking thing just sweeps in and the wall's gone. Like, that's it. You know, or you just see, you were so defeated by it. I was like, yeah, that's true. Cause again, I saw it all at once. So the weight of it was not yet sunk into me, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I said I didn't want to analyze Game of Thrones, but I will, cause I think this is funny. Just to give you an example.
Yeah.
All the stuff in Game of Thrones is based off of real world things, more or less. And that wall is based off like the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Right? The Great Wall of China was built to keep the Mongols from invading China, these barbarians on horseback. And it worked for like thousands of years. Imagine one day the Mongols get a tank and then just drive it through the Great Wall of China. And in 5 minutes, the Great Wall of China is like erased from the earth. It crumbles like a house of cards because they drove a big vehicle through it that they magically got somehow. You know, they used a time machine to get a big tank to come back. And it's just like, I feel like that wall was I know it's a wall, but it has a lot more significance than just like we just drove through it with this big magical dragon.
I would say instead of a tank in that comparison, one giant zombie Mongolian. That that, you know, then I would buy it.
I guess.
That's good writing. That's some, you know, R.R. Like Martin level
something
shit.
That one person could ride that takes down the whole wall. And even one tank versus the Great Wall of China is not 100% victory like it is on that TV show. That'd be an interesting fight, right?
Yeah.
One tank and a whole bunch of guys on horseback versus the Great Wall of China. You can make a whole season out of that.
Well, I was going to say, if that was a whole episode, yo, how do we fend against a dragon trying to take this wall down? And then Rocco, at the end... Oh, yeah.
That's what I said the whole time. From the moment I saw the episode, the wall fell in 30 seconds. It deserves more, like, of a hearty story. That's
well,
a whole
honestly,
battle there. You make it so cool.
The wall is a character of the show. It's like, you did it dirty. You fucked
Bran
it up.
Bran is named after Bran the Builder who built that wall. It's like the Great Wall of China. It's this thing everybody in the world has known about since before they were born. It's existed. It's too cool to just fucking be batted away like that. Anyway,
yeah, it was.
Sorry, everybody.
No,
we went into it.
It really did. It was. It hit me when we talked about it a year ago. It It was like a 30-second ending at the end of an episode. And I really was like, it was the last thing I had just seen, I think, before I talked to you about it. And it was like, oh, yeah. You know, and I think if I had been watching that for 6 years or however long, yeah, that would have been like, huh? You know, anyway, but it hadn't occurred to me that way. So that I remember that conversation and it was very funny to me. I was like, wow, yeah, yeah, that's very true. But there's all kinds of stuff I feel that way about. Now, I will say, you know, there's a lot of hate on that last season since it aired. I still feel, and this is just me personally, that that Darkest Night episode, I love that episode. I think it's a phenomenal episode. And unlike any, you know, episode of a show I've ever seen, like, I really think it's a fantastic production. But I'm saying that in a vacuum. Like, front to back of that episode, I think is phenomenal. But what it meant for the season as a whole is like, yeah, it kind of fucked things up. I mean, the biggest threat of the show is dealt with within 1 hour. I mean, everyone's already said this, but it really was like a crock of shit. They did all that. But if I can look at that episode and not think about anything before or after it, I think it's a cool episode. That's the one thing I'll say, you know.
Yeah, and sorry to bore everybody with a conversation about a show that aired a year ago, but
you know, no one else is talking about the show but us because no one else remembers it. Like,
yeah,
it
I've never
the
seen...
biggest thing in the world, and then it went away.
Yeah, Garrett, you were quiet.
Yeah, I've been really entertained by this conversation because I've never seen any of it. I always avoided Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did because it sounds like a waste of time.
No, but it wasn't. I honestly, Garrett, like, I've never seen a show like that. It's still like,
it
sounds early
like,
on, it's great.
It sounds like I would prioritize going through like Breaking Bad before I ever give Game of Thrones a shot. You know, like there's other stuff on the list that I know are like higher. So I kind of tend to wait till you know, something's aired. And then
I think I prefer Game of Thrones to Breaking Bad personally, but Game of Thrones, as flawed as it is, it's also arguably the greatest show of all time, you know? That's why it's held such high standards, because it was so good, and then, you know, it fell so far.
But so that's my question to you guys, really, to kind of wrap this up, I guess, is would you still, now it's a year later, would you still recommend the show? Did the ending affect that, or are you like, no, still watch it? You know,
it was such a roller coaster for me, and I didn't read the books, and so I had no idea anything was going to happen. And when things happened, I was floored, honestly.
Yeah,
and it was such a journey that way that I would absolutely recommend it.
Yeah, I recommend the show just the same way I recommend The Office. If you've never seen The Office, it's great, but you don't need to watch all of it because it gets bad.
Yeah, I would still say to watch all of it. I mean, like, I think it was a cultural phenomenon, so I still think it's worth it for someone to see all of that. You know, even the original Twin Peaks, I used to kind of like share my grievances with. But I still recommended it because there wasn't anything that aired like that, you know?
I would say to people, don't waste your time. If you want to watch all of it, you can. But if you feel like, if I felt like, hey, some of it sucks, but in that final episode or those final couple episodes, like, it really comes together. Like, it's you're going to miss out on something if you miss that ending. That's how I feel about The Sopranos. You have to watch all of The Sopranos.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
I feel. But you, yeah. I feel like if you've just fucking got bored of Game of Thrones and you're sick of it, turn it off, because it doesn't come back up at the end. It only goes down.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. You know, I would recommend it to people. I would say I would not prioritize it. I actually would recommend Breaking Bad before I recommended Game of Thrones, because Breaking Bad delivered on everything, frankly, until the very end. It only paid everything off. So I would recommend that higher, but Game of Thrones was such a phenomenon, it's hard to deny. Nothing aired quite like that. So I would not say never even look at it. But if you get tired of it, maybe it's time.
I saw a movie yesterday. I went to the drive-in.
Whoa.
Which, by the way, was like fucking awesome.
We talked about it. That's awesome.
It was so fun. It was like going to the fair, dude. It was a blast. Like, you go to the drive-in, the concession stand was closed, but they're like, right. There's a gas station next door you can go to. So we parked and walked to the gas station. And it was, I don't know, there's a ton of people there. Everybody, you know, is keeping distance and staying safe.
I mean, you're in your car.
Yeah,
right?
People were having a good time. I was having a good time. It was fun. And I saw this movie called The Hunt. And I loved it. I think everybody should see it. But I thought of Garrett, because I know Garrett sees a lot of random movies. And I thought maybe he might just see this on a whim.
I would be down.
Have you heard of The Hunt, Garrett?
When you said The Hunt, I thought of an old movie called Surviving the Game.
Oh, okay.
Where, like, they hunt Ice Cube. No, it's Ice Tea.
Okay, guys.
It's a bunch of white dudes hunting Ice Tea.
Cube Hunt.
But it's
now,
that's not what it was?
Now, let me give you the rundown, and then let me give you the full explanation here. This movie apparently is half written by Damon Lindelof. It's him and another person, which I didn't know going in.
Damn. Yeah.
I didn't know anything about this movie going in except, like, people are hunting and killing each other, and somehow it's legal. That's all I knew. Yeah. This movie is super violent. It borders on, like, ultra violence. People, like, falling into spike traps and blowing up blood and guts. The movie is about a bunch of rich, liberal, like, tech industry CEOs have kidnapped a bunch of Trump supporters and are basically doing Hunger Games shit with them. Yeah. They're hunting these, like, alt-right conservative deplorables. But they, like, give them a bunch of guns, and it's like Battle Royale or Hunger Games, or, you know, it's just open season.
What the fuck?
That being said, that's the premise, but the movie is not, like, it's not a political movie, in other than in the sense of, like, it makes fun of everybody involved in this plot. So the main character, you know, the hero is this, like, badass Southern woman who is, like, an ex-military, like, fucking commando. She's played by the woman who plays Liberty Bell on GLOW, like, the blonde chick.
Okay, yeah.
She's the main character. The villain is played by Hilary Swank, who is essentially a female version of Jeff Bezos, right? Just, like, super trained, super rich, like, bald. I have all the time and money in the world to just become fit, and I'm gonna hunt these people. And the plot I've described, there's conspiracy theories involved. It's not what it seems. It's actually really interesting. It's really like a dark comedy that's super bloody. This movie is like kind of fucking amazing. I really recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, I was waiting to hear from anybody else about it because it was one of the last movies released theatrically before everything was shut down. And so it's funny. I didn't know you saw it at a drive-in, Derek, because it's so funny because, yeah, I think that's been playing like on a loop anywhere that'll play a movie at this point, because that
you
was
can get
one
it
of...
on Amazon, you know, for like 20 bucks. But
oh, it is now. Like, oh, okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, was... I had heard Damon Lindelof co-wrote it, and they were like really proud of it or whatever. But I love Damon Lindelof. Like all the TV shit he's done, I've loved. But I know his movie track record can sometimes be weird because I think sometimes they bring him in to try to save a movie, and it don't work.
Well, what is his so movie credits? Know,
what's that?
What are his movie credits?
Well, they brought him in on Cowboys versus Aliens.
Oh,
all right.
That sucked.
You know, Prometheus, he came in to rewrite. I like the mythology.
I like Prometheus,
but,
yeah.
You know, that doesn't work for everybody. Okay. You know, he did Tomorrowland, which I really like Tomorrowland, but even that is not, like, conventionally a great movie. Like, I don't know how to describe that. It's a lot of opening acts. It's just kind of odd, but I like it. Okay, great.
This movie is really fun, dude. It's like a big middle finger to everybody who takes politics too seriously. And everybody looks like a jackass in this movie. It's super bloody. It's pretty funny. And honestly, like, the reviews are ripping it apart. And I think people are really reading into, like, the politics of this movie when maybe they shouldn't be, because it's just kind of makes fun of everybody.
Well, I had a couple friends just on Twitter, like not real close friends, but that were like, oh my God, like this was amazing. So now that I've heard that
that's
from you, that's enough. I'm going to check it out.
The Hunt, everybody. It's in theaters or on Amazon right now. Check it out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be on iTunes, I think, to buy in 2 days for 15 bucks.
Oh, shit. Okay. Maybe I'll go that route. Well, hey, speaking of buying and purchasing and you know, clicking that button and making good things come to you. You could see where I'm going with this. Oh, shop.mega64.com is the best site if you want to order things and just get them. And, you know, ordering and receiving, that's the name of the game. And we've got all the items you could ever ask for. We've got all kinds of new items. In fact, Friday, we just did a restock of the Chroma sweatshirt and joggers, which were two of the biggest items we put out this year. We're restocked. Now the joggers sold out. I believe we are kaput on that.
That is true. Yeah.
I think we have some sweatshirts left. Not in all sizes, but we have some. So if you missed out on that, check that out for sure. And we also like to do a 64-hour special every week, you know, something that is only up for a certain amount of hours. As we've said previously, Mega 64 Day is coming up on June 4th, 6-4. That's our day. And we did it last year. And anyway, we've got some announcements coming at the end of the show. A few announcements about what we're going to be doing that day, stuff like that. But before that, what we wanted to do was this week's 64-hour special, we had overstock from last year's Mega 64 Day of the Sequence Erase shirt, which is one of the rarest shirts we've ever printed. These are just overstock. We're not doing a pre-order or anything like that. It's just what we had basically sitting around, or maybe orders that never got claimed or whatever. Very few, but they are on the shop right now. So if you never got that, this is your last chance. Pick that up right now, shop.mega64.com. And yeah, we'll have some more to announce at the end of the show. Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Also, check out patreon.com/mega64. Always putting up new exclusives, fun stuff on there. We just put up a new episode of the Mega 64 Movie Club. For the movie The Black Hole, the 1979 Disney movie The Black Hole.
Hell yes.
Which was a odd one, to say the least.
Oh, very odd. It was you know what? It was bold. It was crazy.
It was in the weird midsection of Disney of the past and Disney of the future, and they really tried to make their own Star Wars, and it was something. But
yeah,
anyway,
we talk about this. Go watch the episode. Rocco says Star Wars, but this movie I feel like is competing more with Alien and Blade Runner. I felt like this exact movie is like a laser pointer. It marks the end of an era in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We talk about it in the show. Go check out Movie Club. It's a good episode.
Yeah, we do a whole deep dive on the movie. It's great. I thought it was a really good episode. I think they've all actually been really good.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we talked about Zohan the week before, and you would think, like, well, what all can they say about it? But it was a really genuinely good discussion. And I just want to say next week's episode, we say it in this one, but next week's episode is going to be on the movie Stranger Than Fiction. And even that, I'm like, man, what could we say about it? But even that's a really good episode, too. There's a really good discussion in
it. Well, also, I chose that movie because those of you who watched this podcast for a while have known that I was given a lot of shit for liking that movie back in the day when it came out. And so we all watched it, and
the question, and you'll have to see for yourself, did Sean deserve it or not?
Yeah. Is it really the greatest film of all time, or is it not?
I never have ever said that.
Okay, we're done with that.
I remember you saying that.
Sean, we're done with that segment, please. Okay.
Sorry.
I want to talk about another 10th anniversary. It's a lot of 10s. Well, I mean, look at us. But there's a lot of other 10s, too. Brian, I don't know what that laughter was, but we're going to have your mic removed.
His mic is off. That's your mic.
I don't know if that was interference, or I didn't hear what he said, but it's probably something stupid. Anyway, no, it is the 10th as of I think Tuesday, or maybe the day after this goes up, it will be the 10th anniversary of Mega 64 version 3.
Whoa.
Our DVD came out it will be 10 years at that point. That was a very how do I say it? That was a very big moment for me. I'm only speaking for myself, I guess, but very big moment for me when that happened. When that got released, that was a very, it felt like a great weight off my shoulders. We worked on that a long time. you know, we're very familiar with things taking a long time, but you know, that was, I remember when that came out, it was a very long marathon run in terms of doing all the episodes, but also the last episode of it was taking a really long time to put together. And I remember personally trying to edit that, but then also like there was only a month left between when we were going to release it and the DVD had to be made, you know? And I remember like coming in every day, crazy hours to try to get that done. And all of that. Anyway, that's my personal memory of the release of it. But of course, all the years leading up to it were the making of those episodes. And that was a very special time and a very fun time for me. I'm waxing, you know, nostalgic a little bit. But
no, I like this. It's got me remembering my truck bed.
That
was
filling that shit up.
Yeah, I was so impressed that we filled the entire bed of my truck with DVDs to send out once they came in.
And do you remember when we dropped off the DVDs? It was like 1 a.m, you know, 2 or whatever, super late. And we were just filling it up until a lady who was at the post office working came out so scared, like, what is happening? What are all these things you're giving us right now? It was awesome.
That was the first I had ever known about. There were people working at the post office at like 2 a.m. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
That was weird.
So that was 10 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. And, I'm still, you know, I rewatched a lot of those episodes recently and some of it is like, oh man. Oh, okay. You know, like not maybe what I'm as proud of today, but some of it is like, wow, like we really pulled this off. That's really cool. Like, you know, you see a real turn there. And so I don't know. Yeah. There's some of it that I'm still really like, very proud of. I don't know. So, that was, it's the 10th anniversary of that. I remember when it had come out, I remember we were immediately talking about, I think it was you and me, Sean, talking about, you know, when do you think we'll do version 4 episodes? And I said, well, this took so many years to come out. Like, I don't even know. You know, when will we get another episode? I'm being realistic. I don't know. And I think we always had this attitude of like, no. We could put one out real quick. We could do it. Yeah. And I was like, but this took so many years. I remember specifically saying at the time, you know, when we put out the next episodes, we might even be like 30. And you were like, shut up. No. What? Shut up. Anyway, Sean, I have that reaction burned in my brain because I remember in the moment thinking, does he not think it will be like what? Like,
yeah,
this
know.
Took so long to come out. Like, you got to be real. I had that thought. But anyway,
it's crazy that we had. So it was 10 years ago. So we had 3 DVDs that we made of our show out and I was 25. Is that right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I remember, again, I'm only talking about like the release of the DVD. I mean, of course there's plenty of memories of the episodes leading up to that point. It could go on forever, but I remember when that DVD came out, that was a big moment for me because it did really well. Like that was a very sweet, like reward for working on it, you know, 'cause we had no guarantee back then. It was like, we have no guarantee. Do people, you know, we weren't really in the merch game as much as maybe we are now. And it still just wasn't clear. Like, you know, I hope a lot of people order this. Do you think they will? I think they will, but it did really well. And in fact, it blew past how many we had initially ordered of that DVD. And I was like, whoa. And I remember people were just like, what the hell? Like I'm dying to see this. I can't get a copy of it. And it made me feel so bad. So I was all night just putting everything together like, okay, we'll print this many more copies. We'll do this. We'll do that. And the people who ran our DVD manufacturing place were not responding. And it was like, what the hell? And a day went by and another day and another day. And our representative there who was printing those was like not replying to me. It was like, what the hell? What's going on? And I started getting pissed in the emails like, look at all these guys that want to watch our DVD. Like, what's going on? And then I found out the guy's wife passed away. And it was like,
No.
Yeah, that was so that goes on record as one of the worst times, the worst I've ever felt. But he actually did all the work, even despite his non-response. He was getting him going because he knew how many people wanted to see that DVD. So even when I didn't hear from him, he was working on it, despite being, I'm sure, very sad. But that, oh, that broke my heart. That was, ugh. But anyway, but we eventually got more, and yeah, a lot of people picked it up, and I can't say thank you enough, because again, at that time, that stuff was very uncertain. So anyway, that's all I really wanted to say.
That was a fun trip down memory lane.
I don't know if you guys have anything else you want to say, but I, yeah, I we'll bring those episodes to everyone online very soon. And yeah, looking forward to it, revisiting those.
Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I wish we never stopped production, because we would have had 4, 5, and 6 out by now.
Yeah,
but sure. As we know, we went on a long hiatus.
Well, we had a lot of stuff. We had a lot of other stuff we were doing, and I think those things were honestly very important too. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are certain things that I look back on that I go, I wish we wouldn't have spent as much time on that or that, and maybe we could have, you know, whatever. But by and large, there were things I think we had to do, you know. We worked on a movie script for a long ass time. And I, you know, and it's a bummer to me that movie doesn't exist in that state right now. But that's an experience I think we had to go through. You know what I mean? And maybe something will come out of that later.
We went through a lot of experiences.
Yeah.
And, you know, shortly before version 4 was announced, I remember having a discussion of like, we got to stop waiting for Hollywood to, you know, give us a big break. We were pursuing movies and TV shows and this and that.
Of course. Yeah.
And so, yeah, after a couple of years, you're right. That was like the biggest waste of time. And then, once we decided to just buckle down and work on version 4, since then it's only been about 6 years. So just
that's
kidding.
Average. That's perfect. Right along schedule.
Right around there.
Yeah. But
come on.
But anyway, yeah. We'll you know, we're always trying to regardless of whether the end user sees it or not, I think we've always tried to go down new avenues, you know. And I think there's still going to be some that people haven't seen or people don't expect maybe coming, but yeah, I don't really regret anything, you know, in terms of like, I wish I would have done this or whatever. I think every now and then there's something where it's like, yeah, maybe I spent a little too much time on that or cared more than I needed to on certain things.
But we still are just learning. We had to teach ourselves how to do literally all of this.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we've done a pretty good job. And honestly, like, at the time, there really wasn't any of us to look to see how to do it, because no one was really doing it at all.
Yeah.
So we kind of just, you know, made it all up as we went along. And so I'm proud of us.
Yeah. And we always did, you know, there were other big YouTubers, whatever you want to call it. But it never felt like any of them were doing exactly the same kind of stuff in the way that we were doing it or wanted to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I knew other big YouTubers, but their only thing was, I just want to play video games on YouTube, or I just want to do reaction videos or something, you know, and that's never really kind of been our thing. Like, we work on whatever really is our creative impulse, and sometimes that results in a really cool production, and sometimes it like implodes, sure, but I don't know. I think, I don't know a lot of other groups that have had the freedom to explore those things in the way that we have, without being beholden to something, you know? And I guess that's really the big takeaway and the thank you that I give to everyone watching. I'm sure you're going to hear a lot more thank yous on 64 Days, so I'm not going to get all sappy today, but I guess that's really what I'm most grateful for. And version 3, to me, kind of represents the realization of that. It was like, wow, we did this completely independently, and there's not really any big reason for people to pick this up other than they just like us and want to see us do more shit, you know? So that was cool. That was a great message. So anyway, that's all. So yeah.
Cool. I dig it.
But anyway, we don't have to keep talking about that. Is there any other stuff? You already brought up The Hunt.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. I'm glad to hear the drive-through was fun.
What's that?
The drive-in
was great. Do it. Everybody should go check out the drive-in. Yeah. I guess there was only 2 in San Diego. I had to drive like fucking forever to get to this one.
Oh, really?
The South Bay one. It was like damn near by the Mexican border.
I didn't even know about that.
Thought I needed a fucking passport to see this
really?
Movie.
Shouts
out. I think drive-ins are going to be a big thing coming up. Like, that seems like that's how you're going to have to watch a movie now. If you want to go out, like, do that. Which is cool. Like, you can do that today, right? As you did. Like, there's no movie theaters that are open. So, it's, I don't know. I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah. I know a lot of people in LA who have, like, driven great distances to go to a drive-in. So, yeah. I mean, I've been hearing about that. People have been enjoying it.
I watched a movie on Netflix that... I didn't give it a lot of, I didn't give it a lot of credence that I didn't think it was going to be that good, but I was pleasantly surprised because it was one of these, Happy Madison is,
Adam Sandler.
It's his production company, right? And he owes Netflix like 8 more movies. He gets all his friends to be in them.
And
so, I mean, some of these were like, you know, I guess not the best. But I watched a new one called The Wrong Missy with
David Spade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new one. Yeah, that just came out.
I wanted to give that one a chance because I thought, like, all right, Adam Sandler's not in this. And I'm not hating on Sandler. I mean, he was fucking great in Uncut Gems.
Right.
I really enjoy certain Sandler stuff, but he just doesn't have a great track record with these, you know, Netflix-produced things. But this new David Spade comedy was really fucking, I think, laugh out loud funny.
Oh, really? I love David Spade.
I heard good stuff about it. I actually heard a few people tell me it was good.
It reminded me of when Sandler's stuff was good, like Wedding Singer-esque, you know, like basic plot, you know, romantic comedy thing like that. But all of the same people, like, what is it, Rob Schneider's in it. But the co-star is this actress named Laura Lapkus, and she was really funny in it.
What's she from? She looked familiar. When I saw
she did look familiar, but I don't know what she's from.
I don't know if she's that big of an actress. I see her on like Twitter and Instagram and stuff, but I don't. Okay. I don't.
What's the
really
premise familiar. Of the movie?
It's a romantic comedy about David Spade going on a business trip, and he's supposed to invite someone. To come along with him, this perfect girl that he met, but he texts the wrong name in his phone, and you know it goes on from there.
He
gets the wrong Missy. It's about like he's like an older guy trying to date, but the first time I've seen David Spade in a movie who he's looking age appropriate, like he looks like an old man.
Yeah, he always like tries to play a young.
Yeah, he still does.
He's in interviews. He seems like he's 27 still. It's very
Well, he never grew up.
He's funny though. I do like him.
No, I do too. And actually, they just put up Just Shoot Me on Hulu.
Like, oh, that was a good show.
So I don't know if you have ever seen Just Shoot Me, but that show is fucking great. There was one episode of that is like one of my favorite episodes of a TV show ever. It was so funny. So. I mean, check out Just Shoot Me.
I follow him on Instagram, of course. I think we do. We both do. But he posted about that, Just Shoot Me, whatever. And someone left a comment on it. I don't know if you saw this, Sean, but somebody left a comment that said, hey, David, I hate to tell you this. There's a huge plot hole in that new movie. And he listed out this huge plot hole about how I don't know what I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
The Wrong Missy. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, he said there's a huge plot hole in it. This, and this. Then how does this happen? It actually does not make sense that that can happen. Like, he lays out this huge plot hole about it, and it cracked me up because David Spade responded to him, and he said, oh, boy, let me invite you to a party. Watch them all scatter. That was cracking me up. I was like, that's the most David Spade response I've ever heard in my life.
There were scenes in the film, or I guess scenes that were edited together in the film, that I was like, I'll suspend a little bit of disbelief here, but that doesn't really make sense. You know, they would have saw. It's funny. It's almost cute how you can tell this is a small, tight little production team. That Happy Madison team. It's it's those same group of actors.
Right.
Nick Swartzen was in it, and a lot of people like
him. Of course, yeah.
I was a fan of him from his stand-up, too, so it was interesting seeing him in an acting. I hadn't seen much of his acting. Or was he always in Reno 911?
Yeah, he was Reno 911. He was on roller skates. He was
the
great.
Roller skates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I heard good stuff about that. So nobody else has
Netflix.
Been. So nobody else has been to the drive-in recently or anything. It was just Derek. You're the only one, right? Here. The.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Just me.
You guys didn't go to. I mean, I think a lot of restaurants opened up. You guys didn't go or anything.
No.
Or,
hell no.
You didn't check that out.
Fuck no.
How are you gonna eat with a mask on?
Yeah, I didn't either.
I walked past one.
Oh, really? Was it grim scene or was it okay?
No, I mean, it was fucking lame to me.
Really?
Like, I'm walking to go get, I had a sushi to go. So like they just like gave me my bag and I walked out. But yeah. I passed this restaurant and I'm looking in and yeah, like this person has a mask on and then pulls it down, takes a sip of beer and pulls it back up. And it's like, just go home. Like, you don't need to be doing this here. It's what a hassle.
Yeah, I mean, how stupid you gotta be? You don't know how fucking breathing works. You pull down the mask and you drink the beer real quick. You don't get the bad air in your lungs. What a moron.
I don't know. I just feel like people are, you know, they had like four tables in the restaurant. Everyone's far away from each other and like eating. But it's like, this is such a fucking mess. Like, I don't like eating in restaurants that much.
You know what? It's going to be like real creepy. You're in that restaurant the first time somebody coughs.
Oh yeah, fuck that.
You get your pin drop. Like what? It's just gonna. Everybody's gonna feel instant regret. You know.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
Did you go, Rocco?
What's that?
Did you go to a restaurant?
No, oh, no. But okay. I went to get every weekend. Me and my brother have been getting dinner for my family, and you know that's been happening for the past couple of months. And I thought, you know. There's something that none of us have had in a long time. And I think my mom or somebody was saying like, you know, when was the last time you had a good donut? And I thought,
oh yeah,
I'm going to pick up some donuts for them. Cause I know our favorite local donut place, you know, home of the Wackadoo Dozen. They've been open and they're all, you know, keeping it safe and all that. And whatever. I was like, you know what? I'll go there and I'll pick up I think that would be a nice thing. Nice treat. And I went there, and I have been, good with, like, if I go any food place recently, I tip a lot, because I feel, you know what I mean? If it's like a mom and pop place, it's like, you know what, you're going through some shit, so I'll tip more than I normally would. So anyway, I went there, and I had a what photo situation. Now, I'm going to describe that for people who might not know. We had an incident at PAX East a few years ago. I don't know what it is. And please, if you're in Boston, don't be offended by this. But something happens when we go to PAX East in Boston where everyone with a camera like has a problem with it or they don't know how to use it. I don't know what that is. I really don't think it's like, oh, you know, oh, people in Boston are dumb or anything like that. I really don't think that. But for some reason, when we're at that show, people walk up and it's like, oh no, it's dead. Oh, my camera's broken. Oh my God. Or it's oh God, where's the button? Oh God, I hit erase. Oh my God, I wiped your camera. I mean, it's stuff
this,
like that.
This isn't my phone. Okay, then whose is it? Well, it's not mine. I don't know how to work it. Why are we, it started to be that Eric, who's in the chat, just goes out, Boston!
Yeah.
Boston!
So it became a running joke to where when people take pictures and they'll like do something, you know, with the camera, they'll accidentally drop the memory card or they'll break the screen in their hands or something. We'll just go, Boston! Boston! That's a running joke, yeah. So anyway, worst, though, was when we went to PAX East a couple years ago and a guy came to the booth and he said, all right, do you mind if we take a photo together? Yeah. And he got in the booth, but he still had the camera. So Kevin offered. He's like, hey, do you mind if I take the photo for you? Like, I'll take it for you. You know, so he could be in the photo and all of us with him. And then the guy goes, what photo? And Kevin goes, the photo you're going to take. And the guy goes, what photo? And we're all like, what? What?
Insanity.
Anyway, I mean, we could not figure out what happened. And so Kevin just went, all right. And the guy just took a selfie and left. Anyway, that happened to me at the donut place. I went in and I said, okay, cool. I'm just getting half a dozen. And I think we're going to start with that. I know my dad loves coconut. So I'm like, I'm going to start with that coconut donut right there. And the woman went, okay, cool. For your half dozen? Yeah. All right. Okay. And I go, yeah. So just the coconut one. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, all right. And she goes, okay. So what are we starting with? And I go, oh, that the one I was talking about. And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Which one? You have to tell me which one you want. The coconut one. I said it three times. The coconut. You have to tell me which donut you want, or I can't give it to you. I don't psychically know what donut you want.
Oh my god!
I'm sorry. The coconut one that I was pointing to it for like 5 minutes. That one right there. Thank you. Do you see how easy that was? There it is.
Oh, fuck.
And then she gave me the other donuts, and I was like, oh, that tip is so gone.
I can't believe you got the donut.
It was just like, I'm gonna take this and run out of. And I don't know what it is that I have the weirdest run-ins with, like, food shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, that only happens to you, Rocco, whether it's or ordering a Chick-fil-A or even using, like, a FedEx store. You have problems communicating with service providers.
Is it me?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say it's you, but in a typical situation, if somebody has multiple problems with a bunch of different people. I might say the one common factor.
I mean, here's the thing.
Let me just say real quick. There was one other customer in the store. They're allowing three in at a time.
Okay.
There was one other customer in the store. And when she went to go get the box for the donuts, he looked at me like, you know that scene in Ren and Stimpy where the walrus looks at them like, call the police. That guy looked at me like, what the fuck was that interaction? So I don't think this was me.
Oh, yeah.
He looked at me like, you said it three times. Like,
yeah.
You know, you had the same story when the cop pulled you over.
Yeah.
And couldn't get your name right.
And I said it. And I said, I'm not Robert. Should I not have said I'm not Robert?
I think you make these little microaggressive statements. When she says,
yes.
What donut do you want? And your response is, I already told you three times. You might not realize that's going to fucking piss off the donut lady.
But I said it three times. Do I not acknowledge it? No.
I mean, everyone just stop what you're doing. Brian, go to the shot of just Rocco. Just that. Go to that shot. This person right here is asking, is it me? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Okay, now go to a shot of just Sean.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just. Guy's a fucking loser. Yeah. How does that feel?
Oh, no.
I hope that made you feel good. And by the way, I didn't even hear what Sean said, but it's probably something stupid.
I'll stick up for you, Rocco, because I think this sometimes happens with me too. I think you and I tend to be very polite to service workers.
Should I not be?
No, I think it throws some people off, like when that person might have been having a bad day or having a hard time. The extra dialogue or the extra thank you or whatever is like, they want me to just fucking treat them like a robot. But I don't do that shit either. I'm like, hi, how's it going? You know, like I don't get it. My food gets fucked up sometimes, or I feel like there's miscommunications in some ways too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's his life. I've told so many stories on this podcast of me misunderstanding somebody or saying the wrong thing and the whole thing implodes in my face. Like, it's
at least,
all of us.
I was going to say, at least I didn't have that kind of moment with the police like you did. But as Derek pointed out, I did.
Yeah, I am the master at communicating an order to people. I never have a problem. That's my special
you're very
skill.
Good.
I can communicate a donut order or, you know, take a police ticket. And never any trouble with me.
I just pointed to the donut I wanted and I said, let's start with that one. And she just kept saying, yeah. I didn't.
Yeah.
I think I'm good. In my experiences eating at restaurants with the four of us, Derek is very masterful at getting right down to the point, ordering, communicating himself. And there is always someone at the table who goes, come to me last. I'll just say that.
Who is it?
What does that have to do with anything? Come to me last?
Garrett, who's saying
that? The order?
I'm just saying maybe that's a, you know, adding some confusion into the mix.
How does that affect the order? Go in. Don't go to me now. Go to them.
Just saying, Derek always knows what's going on.
Hey, I remember.
No, I make it no confusion or complication. When you ask me my order, it's going to be like a sniper shot fired into your notepad. No mistakes.
I pointed to a donut and I said, I want that one. And well, she said, yeah.
No,
and
this said, one's yeah. not you. No,
I, no, this I, isn't you.
This one is not you. I'm on
oh,
your
I
side
get
here.
It. I get it. She's standing behind a 7 foot wide, 4 foot deep tank holding over 500 donuts. And Rocco pointed to the middle and said, I want that one.
No,
no, he said the coconut.
Start, she said, okay, what do you want? And I said, I'll start with the coconut one. There's only one coconut one.
Yeah, I don't know.
And she said, okay. And I said, yeah, the coconut one with sprinkles. And
all right, you said, know yeah. what? I'm swapping sides. She has a problem. I'm with you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. They hire meth heads to work at 2 a.m. Yeah. at the donut shop.
And yeah. I was there very late. I was pretty late. Yeah.
She probably eats nothing but donuts for the last 25 years. Her brain's rotted out.
Who knows? Also, she's stressed. It's all fucking terrible. You know what? Let's give her a pass. Yeah. But,
she's the best station she could find in life is working at a donut store in 3 a.m. This chick is not mentally competent. I'm with you, Rocco.
There you go. Thank God. I knew you'd come to my side.
We all had
hey,
to
get the
you know,
close up
talking through
the shot just of me. I knew Derek would come to my side.
Yeah. Get out. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Anyway,
was the donut good? Was it a good donut? Was it worth
it?
It
was fucking amazing to their point. Throw them one. It was.
Was it a. Can we say what donut place it was? Was it around?
No.
Was it, okay, this is what I want to know. Was it like a chain or like a one-off mom-and-pop one place?
No, it was a mom-and-pop place.
Okay. Hey, those are good places. Those are the best.
Yeah, it was definitely – it was very good. And it's funny you mentioned, though, the, like, ordering thing. As I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I mentioned before ordering the DVDs. I brought up before when we ordered the version 3 DVDs 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember we reprinted, I think it was around the same time we reprinted Mega 64 Time. That DVD that we made, that was like a 2007 DVD, but we reprinted it around 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a problem. We got them in and I played the disc and it was the Mega 64 Time DVD, but the contents of it were Mega 64 version 2.
Oh.
Yeah. And,
I remember that.
And I remember I was like, yo, we printed like thousands of DVDs and they're all wrong. Like, and I told the guy, I'm like, I hate to tell you this, but you didn't print the right thing. And the guy working there got real pissed and he was like, oh my God. And then he said, I remember he was breathing real heavy over the phone and he was like, you guys have got to name these better. And
what
that was, I did inflect the thing that you, I did, I'm admitting, I did the thing that you told me when I said I pointed to the donut three times.
Yeah.
And that might not be the most helpful. I did do that on that call. I just remembered it. But the guy said, you've got to name these better. And I said, there's version 1, 2 and 3. They're numbered.
No, you said
and
they're numbered.
He was just like, yeah. But I was just, I didn't want to, you know, I'm a kid, you know, at that point, it's like, I can't be on the hook for all these thousands of DVDs they did wrong. So I wanted to, you know, be clean of all error.
So, you're clean.
So I wouldn't handle it any differently. But man, that guy was not happy with that.
Oh, you don't say.
See, I have this thing in my brain where I can wager, like, I know when things are going south. And if you know, there's too much of a conflict, I'm not going to get what I want out of it, right? The guy's going to get mad. He's going to, fuck you. I'm not going to work with you. He's going to send me packing. So when I feel like it's going that route, I'll just assume responsibility. Like, hey, maybe I fucked up. nothing wrong with you, even if I know the other person is completely wrong and they're an idiot, I'll be like, yo, I think I'm having a problem here. I'm being stupid right now. Can I get the coconut donut and then you get the best service on earth?
Yeah.
You got to patronize them.
I think
that's what I do.
I think I'm for me, I've just been, people have tried to put me on the hook for so many stupid things that are not my fault that I can't go that route.
Rocco, you do this thing when I can tell when it's going bad and the ship has sunk and it's not getting better. You just do this thing where you'll go, yeah, well, quietly to yourself. And it's like, oh no, it's over. Like, this person's fucked. Their day is fucked. Rocco's going to fuck with them to the end of time now.
And you know what is the greatest irony of that is I actually know what you're talking about. I mean, I wouldn't have known that consciously, but you bring that up and it's true. I do that. And the one time I did it overseas, a Japanese flight attendant told me I was sexy.
There you go.
So
your voice is so sexy.
Your voice is so sexy. So would you stop? Well. Would you change who you were? No, I think, I think I'm doing the right thing. Okay, well, if there's anything, I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to talk about, but we do have some things to announce. Should I do that?
Let's do it, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do it. And it's going to happen, baby. 3, 2. Hey, everybody, Mega 64 Day is going to happen on June 4th. That's right, 6/4/2020. And I'm really excited about it. We are going to have a blast that day. We're going to be streaming stuff all day, starting around noon Pacific. And, you know, as always, keep an eye on our Twitter because we're going to keep you up to date on what's going to happen and all that stuff. But we're going to start streaming all day on June 4th. That's a Thursday, I believe. We're going to be streaming all day. I'm really looking forward to that. That's always like a really good time.
Yeah, it's a fun day.
And
we're all here.
We're gonna stream some stuff. We'll go into later tonight. We're just giving you a handful of announcements. It's not everything, because I think that day we're gonna have a lot of video related announcements. Like, you know, we might show a couple new things. You know, release some stuff, whatever. And, you know, watch stuff on the stream, of course, whatever. So stay tuned for that. We'll have some more video related announcements later. And other stuff as well. But tonight, just a handful of some of the merch-related stuff. But anyway, we just wanted to let you know we're going to be streaming all day on June 4th. Now, as always, we have exclusive items in our store that day on June 4th. This is no exception. We have great exclusives. This first one in particular is coming from Sean here. He knew that you needed a great summer outfit.
Yeah.
And this is an exclusive for all the internet soldiers watching that day. He knows that they want to feel cool in the summer. These, of course, were, you know, this design was one of our most popular this year.
Yeah.
And he's bringing it to you in a summer state. We, for that day and that day only, we're going to have the Chroma shirt and the Chroma shorts. We've never done shorts.
Whoa.
We've never done shorts in our entire existence.
You already have the winter look, but now here's your summer look to be comfy at home.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. That's looking slick as hell.
Yeah, dude.
So that's going to be available that day. I'm really excited about those. Oh my God. I'm going to be dressing like that. I'm going to be wearing that to everything. Black tie events. I don't care. All right. Then we got, I'm going to put my name on this. I'm bringing this to you because this was a shirt design from way back in the day. And it was kind of there before we had our merch game really locked, you know. And I always really liked the design, you know, but I always thought it could use a tweak or two in the color situation. And I thought, this is too good. I want to bring this back because this is one of my favorite designs. Our good friend Cheeto did this a while back, and I love it, and it commemorates a couple of our favorite characters, and it's perfect for 64 Day. The Brotaku Elite shirt is going to be available on 64 Day 2020. I'm really excited about that. I love that design. I always have, and Cheeto did a hell of a job on that, so I'm glad people will have a chance to get that on 64 Day. All right. Now, something else we're going to do is, we did this last year, but we're being a little more mysterious this time. We are going to bring back, we're going to resurrect 4 64-hour specials. We're not, and here's the thing, we can't say what they are.
Oh my God.
Because this year, these are sketchy, these are underground. There are 4 that we've released in the past, but we're giving them one more shot in case people missed them. And we can't, we got to keep them on the down low. You know, these are bootleg, you know, so we're going to, we'll, you know, you'll find out what they are, but we're not going to say it right now. Stay tuned. Those are going to be 4 very good 64-hour specials. And we're going to bring back an item. This was something that we did for Black Friday, but we made more to bring to the summer cons. Guess what? Ain't happening, bro. So on 6040, you'll be able to get the Mariel's. She did a skate deck for us. The Mega 64 skate deck that she did for Black Friday. That is going to be available on that day. Shop.mega64.com. You'll have another chance to get that. We're still looking into if that's going to be a limited stock. All these items in general are going to be mostly you can pre-order them and you'll get one. But that one, I'm still looking into if it's going to be a limited stock or a pre-order. We'll find out. Now, the next thing. The last thing on the list is controversial.
We're
going to get into controversy. Some people are, you know, are going to have some things to say. But I'm going to be candid as possible. We did on our, we do great gifts on our Patreon every quarter. Every quarter we give out a gift package that has something that we think the real hardcore fans on our Patreon are going to love. Now, one thing that a lot of people vocalized, they weren't, you know, there were some people who didn't get a chance to do the Patreon and they were really bummed out that they missed out on the Flame War Theater Blu-ray. We did that. Mm-hmm. That was a gift from like last fall or something like that.
Right.
We have made a point to not sell the stuff in our store from our Patreon. Like we wouldn't do that. Because we think that's the point of it, is it's exclusive to the people who supported us on there. And so it kind of put us in a predicament because people at home wanted this, but at the same time, we didn't want to kind of, you know, go back on that. But also, coincidentally as well, the printer of this Blu-ray gave us, you know, there's always an over-under on what you print. We have hundreds of extra copies of this Blu-ray. That have been sitting there, and we were just like, damn, what do we do with this? So we want to make it fair to everyone. We aren't going to sell them in our online store. We're not going to put them up. We're not doing that. But if you pick up, if you spend $100 in our online store or more, whatever, we will throw in a Flame War Theater Blu-ray that day.
That seems like good compromise.
That's how we're going to make, I don't know if you have the image for that, but, or if there is one, but oh really, damn. Well, anyway, the there we are going to include that day. If you spend that amount, that way it's fair to the people on Patreon who supported us for months and they didn't get hosed on it, and everyone, you know, on the store that day who missed out, hopefully you'll be happy.
Yeah,
with that.
And if you are support our Patreon and still spend over $100, you'll get one and give it to your friend, give it to anyone you want, you know.
Yeah, if someone's missing that or something like that. But anyway, yeah, sorry about that, Brian. But anyway, yeah, that will be available in the store if you spend that amount. And that way it's hopefully it makes everyone happy. And there will be more announcements soon too. We'll stop there for now, but there will be some more items coming and some more video related stuff to be announced. Maybe on Mega 64 and team, we'll go into that stuff. On Thursday. So anyway, that's it for now. We'll divulge more of our plans later, but hope you dig it.
Yeah.
Namaste. Ole kamose.
Oh yeah, Rocco. Yeah, end this with a chant.
I wanted to say, actually, I meant to circle around. I was very I was kind of a Nintendo hater when this episode started, but I beat Dragon Quest XI. I say beat I'm going to say it with quotation marks because I hit the credits. It said the end, but people are telling me, oh, no, like after the credits, you can keep playing. And there's like basically the second half of the game. Yo, I played 70 hours of it. I'm stopping for now. Xenoblade is coming out this Friday, but I will return to it. But what I played, I really loved. It was really took me back to the Super Nintendo games of RPGs or Super Nintendo days of RPGs. Yeah, I really liked it. That's it. I just wanted to get that in there. I didn't get to talk about that. I really liked that.
Yeah, but you only played half the game. There's a whole second half.
It gave me, I mean, I got the ending and the credits and it said the end. And then it's like, oh,
suck, man.
But there's more you can do if you want to return to it. And I was like, well, I'm good for now. And then, yeah, I told people about this. And they're like, yo, there's like 30 more hours. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, Bravely Default did that to me. And I was like, no, I'll stop at the halfway mark.
Whenever I see credits, I want to stop. Which is, I got the credits today in Animal Crossing. Like, oh, KK Slider came to my town and island and played. And I got credits. Oh, yeah. Like, am I done with this? Do I feel? I feel maybe I'm done.
Yeah,
I got
it's like a psychological effect, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, if you watch that concert every week, you'll get to watch those credits again and again. But in reality, you kind of have done everything that the game has held your hand on, and now it's just up to you to just free roam.
Yeah,
keep playing.
Yeah,
man. Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't even make it to that part. Once they were raiding my island, I was like,
yeah. Hey, all you have to do is have people move in and put shit on the floor around. It's fine.
I have 10 people living on my island. I've set shit on there all the time. I check in. Yeah, 2 stars. They hate your island.
He's a homo ordering the donut situation, but he has to argue with AI. There's no winning.
Even digitally, anyone who works at a fucking place hates me. I don't know.
Isabel and you are like oil and water, man. Just don't get along.
What is it?
No, I don't know.
They're like, your island's only 2 stars. And Rocker goes, yeah, well.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Yeah, I turned it off. Anyway, but Dragon Quest was great. It checked every box for me. It had every old, like, Super Nintendo era RPG trope, and I mean that in a good way. Like, you know, I don't want to get into it for anyone who hasn't played it, but man, it was just like, it affected me. It was just emotional and it was great. I really loved it. But my favorite RPG of the last 10 years is still Xenoblade, and it's coming out on Switch this Friday. It's Rhine time. That's the power of the Monado.
Oh my God.
God damn it. Good night.
A bunch of jokers.
Good night.
So that's it, Shulk. Giving up the sword already? No, it's not like that at all. Nanekte. Ah, yeah.
No.
Awe mikte yakes.
Is it him? No, it can't be him.
Eh, ave wakan. Sivako. Sivako!